Yeah.
Okay. All right, Hidden Ridge.
This is a continuation of the 17 before 24 hearings of the Board of Appeals. Case number 7980 involving property number 9860 43773.
In attendance with the appellant is Lon Combs, and no one present is present for the assessor. Raise your right hand and be sworn in. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're giving this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
We're here to hear testimony on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days to appeal from the date. The assessor has the same 30 days to appeal. He doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So go ahead and tell us about this.
So this property I purchased in 2005, and for $144,000, it had a lot of problems with no utilities, very sloped. And I actually have presented this property to you before. We went through the work of getting it prelimmed, and then I ended up selling it to a developer. And they took it through final engineering, but the cost to bring utilities and put in the roads and stuff came out at $5.355 million. He had bought it on contract from me, and he and I worked together to try and reduce that to no avail, and so he ended up canceling the loan with me and returning the property to me. At that price, it just isn't economically feasible. And it's, even though we had planned to make it into several lots and it was approved and had final engineering, the cost of it just doesn't make it feasible. The cost per lot would be $357,000 a lot. And so he gave up the loan, returned it back to me, and the only way possible now is to sell this thing is to sell it as a single lot. The problem being is what I ran into before and I brought to you before is no utilities. It's in the city of Camas, so they won't allow me to put septic or sewer on it. And so I went out and compared to other large lots that are in the city limits. The only ones I could find that were for sale or had been sold were had utilities on them. And I put the valuations in there of those three different lots that I compared. And they were as high as $86,000 an acre and as low as $55,555. And so I valued my property a little bit lower than that at $52,000 an acre because, again, there's no utilities on site and nothing available in the city's requiring, I mean, won't allow septic or sewer.
So at some point,
yeah.
They just don't have it available yet?
Yeah, so the reason the property ran into trouble is the article I mentioned to you that's attached to my memo is there was a 115-lot subdivision that was going to go up above mine that would bring the utilities in. And they had to cross my property to do it, so they had an agreement that I could tie into their utilities. Well, they ended up donating it to the city. And the city is just sitting on it. I've talked to them. There may be a park one day. There may be a fire station. But they're so far behind on building parks in the city of Camas that it may be 10, 20 years before they even look at it. And so, yeah, there'll be some future when the utilities come to bring the property just for this property is economically impossible. But the city may bring it at some point. And so at that point, you'd be able to tie in and be able to build on the property. But until that point, I was trying to come up with a valuation that made sense based on, again, parcels in the area that are in the city Camas. And those are the three that I sent to you.
So your water.
40,000 acres.
I'm higher than that. I'm at 52,000 an acre.
7.61 acres.
Yeah.
A little over
52,000 an acre. And the ones I compared it to were at 55. But again, they had utilities on site or next to it, so they could easily tap in. Whereas mine, the nearest utility hook in is over a mile away, up a steep, narrow road that would have to be. I sent you the estimate. One of the shocking things about the estimate that totally blew me away is just for traffic control was over 500,000. Because you basically have to set down Engle Road to bring the utilities up the road. And I thought, wow, I could hire a guy for a year for less than, two guys on each end, 100,000 each for a year. But yeah, it's crazy.
You're not city government.
No.
You're not accounting for the breaks and lunches and all that stuff.
Right. And the 10 guys that stay there, but the actual one guy that actually does the traffic control. Yeah.
And those properties
that you get was Bear Land.
And that value was set by us last year.
No. So last year it wasn't contested because the guy that bought it from me that was trying to develop it had it. And so he didn't contest the value. But then when he returned he basically was to pay me off by the May. And he said, he contacted me the end of May and he says, I'm just returning the property to you. He spent almost $250,000 on engineering. He paid me a large down payment, and then just walked away from it. So at the time he was not disputed. The last time the value was disputed was before I sold it, and I was having all those troubles with the city.
Yeah.
I don't have any more questions.
No, I don't have any questions on it.
go back to bed for a couple
hours. Go back to bed for a couple hours.
Thank you. So, again, I'm in Japan and not getting mail service from the States. And so can I have the results also emailed to me?
Okay, this is a continuation of the April 17th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before us now is petition number 800 for property number 12042000005, Fuller and Unring. There's no one present for the appellant and no one present for the assessor. We'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No question.
Close the hearing. This is a continuation of the Clark County Board of Equalization hearing. And before us now, we have cases number 793 and 794 on Granite SEP. Property numbers 13054500 and 13054100. Before us, we have Mark Hinton and Nikki Duke from Hinton Development. There's no one present from the assessor's office. And let me swear you in again. Raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do. Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Okay, go ahead and tell us about this one.
So I'll just be very brief on this. We have Castanelli Jackson appraisal on that. He appraised the properties for 2021, 2022, 2023. The 2023 value, I don't have it in front of me, but somewhere about half of what the county assessor says it's worth. And all the documentation is there with Castanelli. Again, the right guy to do this job and has been hired by the county many times. So the only other thing I want to say just for the record is our manager that usually did this, this is the one we appealed in 2021, got it reduced from 7.2 to 1.5. In 2020, excuse me. He passed away of COVID, and we missed 2021 and 2022 evaluations. So we're appealing now 2023 because we can do that at the county, and we are appealing 2021 and 2022 with the state. So that's where we're at on that. I believe that the value that Castanelli has put forth for 2023 is a fair and reasonable value. And we're open for questions if you have any.
You answered one of my big questions, and that is why we got for 3 years, and I assumed it was something different, but I understand that. And you were able to get to the state because of what reason?
The system for 3 year appeal is the immediate year with the county and the two prior years with concurrent years with the state revenue. So I don't know. It probably has to do with the fact that they're going to have to reimburse us if they agree with us. I don't know why that is, but that's what we've been told, and we're in the process.
But you got approval from the state to appeal to the state.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
For 2021 and 2022. So Castanelli's appraisal covers all those years because he knew we were going to be doing that.
Right. Okay. And that's fine because we have no authority to grant that from the
I understand.
Board of Equalization. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just asking for 23 evaluation.
Okay. That was one of my big questions, why we're getting three. I assumed it was something. But and this is the same, he did the same kind of evaluation on this is the previous case that we heard?
Yes. Yeah, it's
What kind of wetlands you have, what kind of, how many, you know, lots you can get out of it and all that good stuff?
Yeah,
what kind of development cost?
Yeah, it's very detailed. Development cost is a big thing, and, you know, that's how they determine values for lenders. I mean, so it's, this is a lender-accredited evaluation.
And where is this one located?
The Granite 7 is in the city of Washougal, up on the hill with slope view. Right in the heart of Washougal.
And why is it called Granite 7?
Because it's full of granite, and there's 7 partners.
Well, I'm on the advisory board also, and granite rock is up in the Chalachi area, so that's why I was wondering.
Yep.
So it's no relationship to them, right?
No, it is not.
Yeah, this appraisal is very long, so it was like 400 pages. So if you read it,
yeah, that's why. I mean, I have to admit that I didn't read it all, but I went through it enough to understand that it was from these same people, and there was sufficient detail in terms of what was looked at and what was calculated and all that. And then I noticed the three years were delineated there, and I just, it was a mystery to me as to why the 3 years were there, because we don't have any authority other than the current year. Okay, John and Lisa, any questions on this?
No questions.
Just a question. It is two different tax parcels. That's why we have, you said, two appeals on it. Correct?
Yes. Yeah, one little one and one big one.
Okay. All right. No, I read the report too, looked it over, and found the answers I wanted, so I'm good.
Okay, great.
We got it.
One more time. Let's go.
Thank you. All right, close that hearing. Continuation of the April 17, 2024, hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before us is case number 792, property number 1868200, H2 Vires LLC. And present for the appellant is Mark Hinton and Nikki Duke. There was no one present for the assessor, so we'll continue. Would you raise your right hand, please? You sworn in? Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. I'll give you the spiel one time today. I think you got a bunch of hearings here. We're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your clients or your hearing as of for property number 792 as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, this will apply for all the cases you are here present today. So go ahead and tell me, tell us what the objective here is and the key elements of your case, and we'll go from there.
Go ahead,
whoever's going to speak.
Go ahead, Dickie. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, so H2 Beer. So in this year, in 2021, the parcel was assessed at about $7.1 million. We believe that the parcel should be assessed at $2.8 million. million and some change. So $2,824,000. This is based off of a, I'm sorry, let me back up. We believe that it's valued at $2,940,000. This is based on an appraisal that we got from Casanelli Valuations. He went through all aspects of the project. Like I stated in my summary paper, he looked into comparable site values, comparable property values, and actually where we are in the entitlement process of the development process for this parcel. We also appealed this property last year as well, back in 2022. Sorry, I'm looking at my letter through here. I can't remember. This is an increase. So we appealed last year, and it was assessed at $2.8 million after our appeal. It was reevaluated. We won that appeal, so it went back down to $2.8. So I can go through this appraisal. I mean, you guys have had time to read it. Do you guys have any questions on it and where we are in entitlement? I feel like we've done this a couple times, so...
Let me jump in here, Nick. You know, when we get into these situations, the only thing that we can do that brings value on projects that are this big is to hire the professionals to tell us what the value should be or what the value is. And after, you know, $6,500 worth of work from Casanelli, this is what this is his result of all his research. So I think it's pretty thorough. He's a well-known appraiser in the industry here in the Northwest in the Vancouver metropolitan area. He's probably done a lot of work for the county too over the years. So we feel like the property is overstated in value, and we have proof to show you guys. So
boundary line adjustment. You bought another parcel, and I'm sorry I didn't write all the dates down. But you bought another parcel, and you did a boundary line adjustment and put them all both together.
That's
and
correct.
Was that after the hearing that you heard last year?
I would need to look. I don't.
I think the way I looked at it was it was done after that time. So you had $2,800,000 last year, or 8.5, whatever it was, and you only added $2,940,000 now. But you added a property that you paid $350,000 for, or something like that. So that property didn't add much value to the package.
Well, I don't believe. If our hearing last year was a year ago, which is probably a pretty decent assumption, we bought that property prior to that.
But was it prior to the valuation date on 1/1/22?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it was.
So it's the same property. It's just they're put together, and now it's a one property. And where is this located?
It is west of 50th Avenue, south of 174th Street.
Yeah, just above the college up there, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's correct.
North of the college.
Okay. I can also speak to that value of that piece that we brought in. So we brought in that piece. Thinking it would bring us more value, but it also ended up being a little bit wet, so we couldn't get the count that we wanted on it. And it made us have to punch a road all the way through to 174. So as far as construction costs go, that piece actually brought in more construction costs to us when this finally does get approved than we had expected.
But the point is, Nikki, it was included in the last appraisal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions, Lisa or John?
No, I don't have any questions.
No, I don't have any. Stayed up late reading all of that, and I think it looks great. So no problem.
Nikki, I think you can save yourself some work next year too, to just make it a little more concise and
Well, if the county keeps doubling these values, here's the problem we're facing. I know you guys can't do anything about it, but I'm going to be talking to the assessor's office. We have Granite 7 coming up here shortly with you guys today. And, you know, that was a property that we submitted appraisals. They reduced the value from $7 million to $1.5 million. Once the 6 months was up and the next tax bill came out, they jumped it right back up to $7.5 million. It's unbelievably, it's ridiculous because, you know, it's costing us a tremendous amount of time and money to keep coming back to you guys. And so hopefully we don't have to do this every year, but you never know.
Well, I'm just saying, you plan on that you'll need to do it, and I was just saying to Nikki that probably she could get by with a little less work on her part, because you can hope that you won't have to come back, but we're seeing this over and over and over again. They don't even recognize our value after that year.
They don't recognize our value in doing this, and even if we say something in there that should be taken into consideration, they don't.
They don't.
Okay. All right, that's good to know.
They just punch it in their system, and whatever pops out, that's what they do. And I guess they're hoping that somebody misses a hearing or something, and so they'll get the value to come through. I don't know, but it is kind of unnerving from your standpoint to have to go through this all the time. I understand that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do another six of them next year, so I'm going to see what I can do at the assessor's level.
I don't want this to happen at the ballot box. Just
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. We have no more questions, so we'll close that hearing. Continuation of April 17, 2024, hearings of the Board of Equalization, Clark County Board of Equalization. Before us now is petition number 799 for property number 3791-2436. There is no one present for the appellant and no one present for the assessor. So we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No question.
Close the hearing. Okay, this is a continuation of the April 17th hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The case before us is number 797 for property number 85146800 for Northwest Drake LLC, which is Lon Combs. There's no one present for the assessor and no one present for the appellant. We'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No question.
Close the hearing. April 17, 2024, hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before us is case number 795 for property number 91103173. Scotton 4 LLC. So raise your right hand and be sworn in, please. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
I didn't hear you, Mark.
I do.
Thank you. So tell us about this case.
So we didn't get an appraisal on this, but this is a remainder parcel from our adjacent retail development on the corner, Scotton Way and Highway 503. Okay. This remainder parcel is entirely wet, and not only is it entirely wet, we did all of our wetland mitigation. When we filled wetland on our retail site, we went ahead and built wetland on this parcel that you're looking at, the entire parcel. The parcel, just so I'm very clear with you guys, the wetland failed. And it failed for numerous reasons, but primarily I believe, is because it didn't have the soil characteristics it needed for these wetland plants to survive. And so the Corps of Engineers and the Department of Ecology required us to pay a pretty substantial fee for the time that this wetland had failed to the time we purchased it. So this parcel was in my ownership back in 2005, and then it left my ownership through the Great Recession. And we purchased it back in 2014. And so we have been around and around and around with the Department of Ecology and the Corps of Engineers about is there anything we can do with this site as it relates to development, because it adjoins on you know the easterly portion, the main body of this parcel joins two stub roads that are residential to the south. And right now they are saying absolutely not. This site is not buildable. It's not usable. It's wet. It's categorized wet. And if you look at the map that is in the first three or four pages, you'll see a big green overlay on this parcel, which is wetland in the county. It adjoins a park property to the north that the city of Battleground owns that is also wet. And so typically wetlands, and when if a wetland has value to the county or the city, if you give that wetland to the county or the city, the IRS allows you to view that as a charitable donation, and that value is what your donation is. And the last one I did, which was about 4 years ago, the evaluation of the wetland was $10,000 an acre. We put $25,000. We request $25,000 an acre because we don't know what the value is, but we think that that is on the high side, and that's a reasonable value for that property. We're not donating it yet. We haven't made any decisions, but right now, the county assessor is showing that it's a buildable parcel, and it is not. And so that's the basis for our appeal on this. I suppose if we lose the appeal, we could give it to the city if they would take it and take a $700,000 deduction. But we don't know what's going to happen with that. Is there a possibility that Corps will come around and maybe agree with us on this after a couple years of battling with them? Possibly. But right now, there is nothing that they will do for us. Is that reasonable, Nikki?
Yeah.
Okay.
Help me understand what the parcel is, because I thought part of the parcel was not wetlands.
So if you look on page two, and there's the colored map that has the green.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
That's not page really two. I guess it would be the letter.
It's not really our page two. Yeah. It's our page five.
Oh, sorry.
If you don't count the double sided.
I saw it a minute ago, but I can't find it.
It's the fifth page.
It's after four and before six.
Well, none of them are numbered. Actually, it's the fourth page. They're none of them are numbered.
Oh,
all right.
Pages are numbered. Just
you know. Okay. You see the box, the map that has the green square on it.
I have it.
Yep. Okay.
It's a small map. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So on GIS, that's from maps on GIS that shows what is wetlands per Clark County. So you'll see that is all green, and there's like a tiny bit. They call that little tan area uplands. Area. So that's what I was referring to, saying that there's a little bit of upland.
Which one is the parcel? Which one is the parcel?
The parcel is highlighted in blue.
Okay. And ours we just have.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
There's
other lines in there. It looks like there's other parcels in there, but it's all one parcel?
Yes. Yeah. Got it. So that is blue highlighted. So then the picture below that is basically a screenshot of what we had to mitigate for. And so that shows that we had to mitigate over that entire site, which is what Mark's referring to. So every part of that site per our mitigation plan that we did when we developed Scotton Way is all wetland. So the county map, ultimately, if we went back to try to develop this, we'd have to go through the Corn Ecology. They're the ones that have jurisdiction over wetland. And they would say, nope, this entire site is wet because you had to mitigate through the whole piece.
Did you try to discuss any of this with the county, or have you just given up? I mean, showing them this, and does it do it, you ever tried to talk to the
association? I'm going to discuss this. I've tried. I got some emails back that I refer to, like Katie, but, you know, it's kind of just, it's, I've just kind of given up. I'm going to, second half of this year, I'm on the BIA board, so I'm going to bring this up with the assessor's office from a whole standpoint and work on this. But, you know, when they have their minds made up, they tend to have their minds made up. And that's
Yeah. Well, that's what most people say, but every now and then you'll get somebody that doesn't say, go to the Board of Equalization, and they actually will talk to you, but it's rare these days.
Oh, I see what you mean. You mean shortcut you guys, and they'll make the decision for us.
I mean, before you go through all this work to come to us, when you get the, you know, you mean you get your assessment, just taking this documentation in and saying, look at this piece, it's wet, and just explain to them what you explained to us. And sometimes, if you get somebody reasonable, or if you can get to the right person, they will listen to you. That doesn't mean they won't just jack it up again the next year, but it would be a lot quicker than
waiting,
putting together all this paperwork. And you know, if you could,
they didn't give us that opportunity. They said the only way that we can change the assessments is go through the Equalization Board. That's what they've told us.
You should try talking to Peter.
Okay.
You have some name recognition. He might recognize your name, and he might give you a what do you call it when you appear before the king? What's it called? A hearing? Not, it's not called a hearing.
That's usually what happens before they put you to death.
Either financially or anyway.
So we think that we've overstated the value at one whatever. What, $25,000 an acre, but we're satisfied with that. If that's,
so how did you come up with that number? Well, let me ask another question first. Is this a county GIS map, or is it a map from somebody else?
The green one is a county GIS map, the one that has the green color on it. The map.
Okay, so below, it clearly shows it's wetland at the county level, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Now, how did you come up with the $25,000 again? I mean, I heard you say that, but I don't.
Well,
exactly.
I'll tell you how we came up with it. Nikki hasn't been around as long as me, and if she would have come to me and asked what the value of this property is, I would have told her $10,000 an acre, because that's consistent with a property that we gave 40 acres. We gave 23 acres of wetland to Clark County about 4 years ago, and had it appraised, and they appraised it at $10,000 an acre. So you know, I mean, I think she did a good job here. I'm not going to argue with it, but Nikki, why don't you answer why you got to 25?
Well, you asked me.
I mean, my thought process on it was
50. The appeal form says 27,350. Unless there's somewhere back in here that I missed that you reduced it to 25,000. The petition says,
in the evidence I submitted, I said I believe it's worth 136,750.
Where's that at?
That would be your page 6.
Oh yeah, there it is.
Okay, 25.
And how I came up with that number was, I knew I looked at some of the stuff we've dedicated, what we've received PIF credit for in the city of Ridgefield for wetland that we've dedicated park area to them. I believe there's probably also a chance potentially years down the road to develop this. So I thought in my mind, this isn't helping Mark's argument, but I thought 10,000 an acre was too low with the conversations that we've had with some wetland biologists and maybe future potential for that. So that's how I came up with the 25, just looking at how we've worked in the past with other jurisdictions and then where we're at currently today. You know, that may change if there's zero option for development or if something happens in the next few years and then this value could go up. But that's was my basis.
So you're asking for 136,750 then?
Yes.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay. All right.
I don't have any other questions.
No, I don't have any questions on it.
Well, thank you guys for what you do.
Thank you.
A lot of your time and your volunteers, yeah. And you probably all own property that you're tired of paying taxes on, so.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. We look forward to hearing from you.
All right, thank you. We'll close the hearing.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Let me just introduce this and all that stuff. This is a continuation of the April 17th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before us is case number 801 for property number 17938000. It's Six Point Properties LLC. And from the appellant we have Mike Wyatt. And there is no one in attendance from the assessor's office. So raise your right hand and be sworn in. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury? Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I don't have any questions, I don't think. So hopefully you have a comparable property sales worksheet, petition number 801, along with a map from the GIS right behind it. Mm-hmm. Should be two pages.
Yes.
And so I just did the comparable sales and how they're related to our property, and the map is to represent the proximity to our property. So our property, subject property, on the left of that map is off of 10th and 199th, and the comparable properties are right across the street. Sale number one is 25.55 acres, and sale number two is 16.85 acres. They're both, all three properties are zoned the same, all zoned business park. And on the sheet there is what I've done is I just listed the facts and lot sizes and how they compare. The zoning are the same. The sold dates, the last time these properties were sold. So the subject property, we purchased in October of 2019. And then as far as the what we paid for it and the value of at the time, what we paid for it. We paid $880,000 for the lot. It was 22 and a half acres at the time. We did a lot line adjustment to make it 39.32 acres, and so I adjusted the sales price as it. For the lot. It was 22 and a half acres at the time. We did a lot line adjustment to make it 39.32 acres, and so I adjusted the sales price as it, you just prorated it from 22 and a half to 39.32. You know, as far as making them comparable and rational. The comparable sales number one, the folks across the street, the 25.55 acres sold in August of 2022. It sold for $1.7 million. And the number two sold in last year, March of 2023, it sold for $1.45 million. And so there's the three, you know, that one sold amounts and the dates are all right there. So our taxes in 2023 are $6,260. The sale number one was $5,671. And number two was $5,130. And then for this year, they've got us at $30,960. So our assessment and whatnot went up fivefold. The ones across the street, the sale number one, which was sold in 2022, went up $100. And sale number two went up less than $100, even though they sold in the last two, both of those have sold in the last 2 years. Ours hasn't sold since 2019 when we purchased it. So I don't know what else I would propose to, so something's not quite jiving there. I did talk to the a gentleman from the assessor's office. I believe he was from the assessor's office. His name was Lonnie Dawkins. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, you know, he called me first to put the petition in, and he said, yeah, he's certainly willing to take a look at, you know, reducing the assessment. But, you know, and I explained why, you know, the comparables and whatnot. But he kept wanting to talk to the realtor. Our property is up for sale and sold. We've got it up for sale for, you know, a large number. But there's nobody's really interested in it so far because we're on septic and there's no sewer coming to this area. So we're just waiting it out until the sewer comes in. But, you know, somebody's interested, great. But in the meantime, Lonnie wanted to talk to the realtor for some reason. He had some way to describe why the property would be worth more than what the neighbor's property they just recently sold for. So I was kind of mystified by that. I don't know if they ever connected. I was hoping he was going to be on this call, but at any rate, I'm not sure what he was trying to accomplish by talking to the realtor in a way of, he kept wanting to point out, you know, what could you build on septic? Not sure what that has to do with what the property is worth today. In a way of, you know, relational sales, right across the street, you can't get any better comps than that. So I don't know what more I would add to our case other than the direct, obvious facts.
Is septic available for your property?
No, it's a couple of miles away, and I don't know when the county...
you mean sewer, right? Sewer?
We have septic. Yeah, we have
septic. Yeah, sewer's 2 miles away.
I'm sorry if I misspoke. Mm-hmm. We don't have sewer available to this area, and I don't know when it's coming in. I don't believe they have a specific plan as to when it's coming in, so I can't speak to that. But we do have septic. Yes, and the properties across the street do as well. They have homes on them, and, you know, they were residential properties, and they had homes on them. This one has an old ranch home on it as well. They're very similar in that regard.
So you mentioned this limits the commercial uses greatly. Are you selling this commercially, or would it be for residential homes?
Well, we're intending on, well, we can't, well, I, we, so our intentions are to sell it as commercial development property. Once it's sold, since the urban hold on this property, and then they lifted it, so it can't be used as residential property going forward. So we're selling it as commercial property, but, you know, commercial developers going to need to have it work before they, you know, are going to be too interested in it. Same with the comps across the street. They are on septic, and you know, they'll, when sewer comes in, I'm sure a developer will probably develop those as well. Same as ours. When sewer comes in, they'll probably sell pretty quickly, in which case then the value would, you know, clearly be more than prorating these numbers. I mean, there's certainly no objection to that when sewer comes in. But I don't know when that's happened. County doesn't have a plan as far as we can determine. And we've had interest, developers have called us and have been interested in the property once they find out there's no, it's just septic only, there's no sewer. They lose interest immediately, so it is what it is. So we'll wait it out.
So was Lonnie interested in what you were asking for the property? Is that why he wanted to check with the realtor, or?
You know, I don't. He knows what we're asking for the property. Mm-hmm. That's out there in it's on websites, whatever the realtors use for websites. So it's out there. He knows what we're asking for. But I think his purpose was reaching out to the realtor was to find out what the realtor thought that could be built using septic. And that would have some bearing on the valuation. That's my opinion of why he was reaching. I wanted to reach out to the realtor. And I don't know if they ever connected it or not.
Is there water available to the property? You're going to have to dig wells? Or
We have wells. We're on a well.
Okay.
When you say the property was sold for the property across the street, one was sold for $1.7 million. Does that include a house, a livable house?
It does have a house and a big horse barn.
So that's not just for the land.
So they sold. I mean, they sold everything: the house and the horse barn and the property. It's all sold for $1.7 million. And some septic again. So.
You have the sale listed on the subject property that you bought it 22.5 acres for $880 and then did a boundary adjustment or something. What about the additional 17 acres that you picked up in there? Did you already own it or did you buy that also or did you?
Good question. So when we bought this property, this was 22.5 acres, and at the same time or a couple of months prior, we closed on the property right adjacent to it to the north, which was 25 acres. And so at that point, we did the lot line adjustment and made this one 39.32, and then the remaining, the other property, which is adjacent to it, turned into 7.12 acres or thereabouts. And so that's why I prorated this property from, you know, using 22.5 acres and $880,000, and prorated it as if we paid 39.32 acres. That's why I have that listed as 1.524 acres, $1.5 on our property. We didn't pay 1.5, but if you prorate the $880,000 from 22.5 acres to 39.32 acres, it's $1.524 million.
Okay.
What about the other property across the street from you, the one that with 16 acres, did that have a house and barn and stuff on it?
It has a house, not a barn, but it has a house.
And how is it being valued? Is it being valued with the property, with the house and barn and all that stuff? Or is it valued just as property?
Maybe I'm not understanding the question, but as far as how it's valued, I know what it was paid for. I mean, that's what they paid for, $1.45 million. How it's valued, I guess I don't understand. That's what they paid for it.
But you said that I guess you don't want to sell it as residential property. You want to sell it as commercial. But it's zoned differently, so you can't sell it as residential lots?
We could sell it, I guess if we're putting a label on it, we're selling it as business commercial property. But if we sell it and we claim it, we say to the world that it's residential, the house that's on property can no longer be used for residential. As if you couldn't insure the house. If the house burnt down, you couldn't rebuild it as a house because it's its own business park. So it's really no longer a house. It's now an office building.
Okay.
Yeah, if it burnt down, it's insured to be rebuilt as an office building of similar size and similar, you know, nature. But to label it as residential property, we could. I wouldn't want to venture a guess as to what, you know, we would try to list it for as residential. But I don't know that they could insure it. I don't know a buyer could insure it because, or let's say if somebody wanted to buy it as residential property and move in and use it as residential property, I don't know that they could get a bank loan on it because a bank loan is going to require insurance and you couldn't insure it as residential property.
Okay.
So they have to list it as they have to label it as commercial property and it's an office building, you know, it's an office, 2,000 square foot office roughly, and insured accordingly, which is what we've done. We've insured it as commercial property and an office.
You said there's a house on it. Is anyone living in the house now?
No, it's just used as an office space.
And the guys across the street, they're living in the house?
No, there's the smaller one that was sold last year. The folks who bought it, they're using that house now as an office space. And the one that was sold in August of 2022, the larger one, the 25 acres, it was sold to a local, some local business people. They have trailers on, or containers on the property now, and they're storing some equipment and whatnot. And I don't think there's anybody living in the house. They haven't tore it, they haven't tore it down. And I don't know that they may be using it as an office space, but I don't see anybody coming and going, so I don't know for sure. But they can definitely sell it to folks that were are commercial property people. Can't think of the gentleman's name.
What about that chunk in between those two properties there in the front?
That is a residential property with two homes on it, and it's not for sale. It's retired folks and their children, kids, living in the two houses. It is zoned business park.
But it is zoned business park?
It is zoned business park, but it hasn't been for sale. I don't know that they intend on trying to sell it either. An elderly couple and then their kids living next to it, which is how they've got the permit to have a second home on the property, is the elderly folks. They care for them.
I don't have any other questions.
No, I have no further questions.
No, I don't have any questions on it either. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for hearing my case.
Thank you. Yep.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Close it here. This is the April 17th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. This morning we have the first case Zhang A. Yavon, and anyway, for property is case number 791 for property number 90264780. And there's no one present for the taxpayer, and there's no one present for the assessor. So we will make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
Okay.